Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
A win for striking coal miners at Warrior Met in Alabama. More dirty tricks against union activists at Amazon. And today on the show, United Association Local 157 in Indiana, and the latest from the United Steelworkers. Welcome to the Friday, September 23rd edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on at least six platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. We have two guests on the show today. We're going to start things off with Steven Snyder. Steve is a field rep for Local 157 of the plumbers and pipe fitters, part of the United Association. A little background on him. In September of 1999, he entered into the apprenticeship program, which is a five-year program at 157. He said, "I knew it was an opportunity that would open doors to countless facets of the trade. And as the years passed, I went out of my way to learn as much as possible in the field and in the classroom." And that has led to a lot of teaching. He loves teaching. We'll talk about that. He also loves being in the field. He spent several years in the field installing process piping systems as a journeyman pipe fitter, then a foreman, general foreman, superintendent, finally project manager. And the projects range from several hundred thousand dollars to several million dollars. Then he was offered an officer's position with the local. That was back in 2014. Some of his duties include contractor and member conflict resolution, contract interpretation, manpower dispatching, steward assignment, community liaison, and field rep, which is what he's doing now. He's also involved in a number of charitable organizations and the community, things like United Way, Habitat for Humanity. There's a program called Read to Succeed and Tools for Schools. I'm sure we'll touch on some of that as well. We'll talk about workforce divesting and the economic impact that 157 is having. Also, we'll get into the acceleration of retirements and our changing workforce. This is a huge issue. Many in the trades are in their late 40s, mid-50s, some of them in their early 60s. And we've got to get more young people involved because sooner than later, those folks are going to be retiring. And there is one heck of a demand for work in America today, in all trades, in all trades. We've been talking about that on the show many, many times. So we'll talk also about the dynamics. He calls this the new social contract and the changing of the dynamics between the employer and the employee. Yeah, it'll be pretty interesting. UALocal157.org is a website. Steve Snyder, field rep. Anna Fenley will be joining us on behalf of the United Steelworkers, longtime sponsor of America's Workforce. She is the Director of Regulatory and State Policy. Been with the union for over a decade. Her policy portfolio includes health and safety, climate and energy, mining, manufacturing, administrative law, and working families issues. She has helped the union build power by working in coalition with other organizations, especially in her role representing the union and the Blue-Green Alliance steering community. That's a great organization, the Blue-Green Alliance. We've had them on the show many, many times. And she was recently elected as Industry All Global Union's Vice President for North America. That's quite a position. I'm sure we'll get into that as well. We'll talk about the moment that we're in right now to grow clean U.S. manufacturing. Clean U.S. manufacturing with public and private investment. Really important that we join the two. And that means a lot of solar. Cleaner products could mean solar panels, or it could mean improving the steel. that unionized workers already make. We'll also talk about the work that Congress and the Biden administration has done, which sets up a lot of investment, things like the CHIPS Act, infrastructure bill. So we'll touch on all of that. Anna Fenley as our second guest right here on America's Workforce. While we're mentioning the steelworkers, as I said, longtime sponsor, I just want to drive you to their website, usw.org, and they have a really, really good video posted there. It's titled Everybody's Union. Let's listen briefly here on the show.
There are moments in history that define us. And there are times when you know you are making history. This is one of those times.
What they do here, they go through various pictures of people working, and they are one powerful union. Right now, the steelworkers at 1.2 million members, and that includes retirees. And we're talking the United States, Canada, Caribbean. They also have a presence in the UK, Ireland, England, Scotland, Mexico, many places around the world.
Did we bend? Did we break? Did we stop? We're steelworkers. We go to work. Struggle, conflict, and division don't tear us apart. In fact, it's what brought us together all those years ago. From the very beginning, it didn't matter where you came from, what kind of work you did, or the color of your skin. This union is everybody's union. Because we've always known that when we build with each other, we're stronger than steel. Now, the world is finally starting to see what solidarity means. Power in possibility. Strength in solidarity. The courage of unity. We need to seize this moment, a chance to grow what we've been building. Because the world is looking to us, to the makers, the builders, the doers. Essential? Yep. Everybody's union? Damn right.
Uniforms that fit my body.
Equal pay for equal work.
Promises made my golden years.
If it were easy, everybody would do it.
If we don't get it,
shut it down!
But we're steelworkers, and we're built for this. All of us, together. Because the truth is, we're not all the same. The power is, we're not all the same. The truth is, this is everybody's union. The power is, this is your union. Everybody's union, where your voice will be heard, where you can make a difference. This is your moment, our moment. Are you ready to seize it? Now is the time to step up. Volunteer, get involved. Organize. Be a leader. Resist the forces of division. Embrace the power of unity. We are steelworkers. This is our time. This is our opportunity. This is our union's moment. This is everyone's union.
Again, that's posted on the USW.org website, usw.org, and the title of that is Everybody's Union. I love that theme. Steelworkers, proud sponsor of America's Workforce. Now, a brief look into the world of labor. This segment brought to you by the good folks at Boyd Watterson Asset Management. You can find more at boydwatterson.com. Well, for nearly a year and a half, hundreds of members of the mine workers, United Mine Workers of America in Alabama, have been on strike against Warrior Met in their fight for a fair contract. We've been talking about this on the show for months now. Well, in July, you may recall this story, the NLRB ordered the mine workers to pay an outrageous $13.3 million fine. This was in restitution to the coal company for alleged financial damages caused by the strike. The union, well, needless to say, they fought back against the assessment, saying that if it were allowed to stand, it would negate the right to strike, and they're right about that. Well, finally, the labor board revised its figure this week to a fraction of what it was assessed. The recalculation comes to $435,000 plus interest, and it conforms to the number that Cecil Roberts, head of the union, said what we would probably be charged. He understood that was a pretty fair figure, and they're going to pay it. He says, we're ready to pay that amount, put this behind us, and negotiate a fair and reasonable contract with Warrior Met Coal that will finally settle this strike, so let's get it done. That strike started April 1st, 2021. Well over 500 days, again, run by a Wall Street hedge fund who does not give a damn about the workers. Yeah, fund managers, basically, standing strong against the union. And the union standing strong against Warrior Met. So maybe with the payment of this fine, we'll see some negotiations happen. Just keep our fingers crossed on that one. In the meantime, a complaint issued by the National Labor Relations Board's Brooklyn office on Tuesday of this week said that Amazon illegally singled out union supporters in enforcing a rule regarding employee use of non-work areas. Interesting story here. The rule applied to distributing materials and solicitation activities, and the complaint alleges that the rule was unfairly applied to employees who were, of course, engaging in union activity when it was used to prohibit workers from posting a pro-union sign in a non-work area at one of the Staten Island warehouses known as LDJ5. Amazon threatened discipline if the workers posted the sign or did not remove the sign, according to the complaint, which also claims that at least one worker was disciplined under the policy. The complaint indicates a finding of merit in a charge brought by the Amazon labor union and could force the company to abandon the rule if successful. By the way, this case will be litigated before an administrative law judge unless it is settled. In other Amazon news, Matt Stoller, a writer and public voice on the effects of monopolization on the economy and society, noted that Amazon has recently promoted an ex-executive of a private prison company to run its warehouse worker training program. The person has been identified as Dana Howard, who started her career at the Corrections Corporation of America, since renamed CoreCivic as part of a brand rehabilitation effort, which is a larger private prison company. Howard went on to join Amazon as the head of their global security group, running the company's loss prevention effort. She's now been promoted to run Amazon's learning and development team. And 1,000 Teamsters and local community supporters held a massive rally. This happened just 2 days ago outside of Amazon's corporate headquarters in Seattle. And this was to demand the company end its union-busting tactics and dangerous labor practices. Now, the rally coincided with the Teamsters Women's Conference, which is being held in Seattle. During the rally, protesters marched around Amazon's headquarters holding signs that read, "Organize Amazon and Amazon hurts workers." The members were joined by the Teamsters General President Sean O'Brien and General Secretary Treasurer Fred Zuckerman, as well as other Teamster leaders, including international vice presidents. O'Brien said, "Amazon should be afraid. The Teamsters are here standing shoulder to shoulder with so many communities demanding change. And the Teamsters, well, we're not going away. Wherever Amazon abuses workers, we'll be there. Amazon will not bust unions and get away with it. Amazon will not churn and burn American workers and get away with it. The corrupt corporate giant must answer to the Teamsters now, and we're ready for the fight." Now, there's a feisty bunch. There's a feisty bunch here. This, by the way, comes weeks after the Teamsters officially announced its Amazon division, which is a new arm of North America's strongest union dedicated to uniting Amazon employees. So we'll definitely keep our eye on that one. All right, quick break. When we come back, we're going to check in with the UA. This will be Local 157 based in Terre Haute, Indiana.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy,
and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
A great union requires a reliable election system. Survey and Ballot Systems is a trusted election partner with more than 30 years of expertise in managing union elections. By partnering with SBS, your union can ensure it gets an auditable process and a high level of customer service. SBS is here to help you conduct your union vote securely, transparently, and with trust building always in mind. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can always check us out on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, AWF Union Podcast. Make sure you get the word union there. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the North Coast Labor Federation. Before we get to our first guest, I got to mention the Iron Workers Apprenticeship Competition that's going on actually right now. It started 2 days ago, September 21st, and it should wrap up tomorrow. The iron workers are holding what they call the Outstanding Iron Worker Apprenticeship Competition, and it's all happening at Local 24, their training center in Denver, Colorado. Iron worker apprentices from all over the country and Canada are there right now. The competition includes rigging, rod tying, welding, and what they call the famous column climb. That's going to take place tomorrow morning. Boy, I'd like to see that one. That should be really interesting. But a little shout out there to Local 24 Ironworkers, proud sponsor of America's Workforce, Ironworkers National. So again, a lot of fun happening there. And I'm sure, you know, one thing about Ironworkers, and we do the show out of Local 17 in Cleveland, Ohio, and I'll tell you, they pound in safety so much in their program. Safety first, because that is a tough job. Those buildings are tall. You want to make sure you have all those harnesses on properly. So a little shout out there to Local 24. Let's go to Lafayette, Indiana right now and join Steve Snyder. Steve is a field rep for the United Association Local 157 Plumbers and Pipe Fitters. And he's a longtime union guy. Got into the apprenticeship program in 1999. Steve Snyder, how we doing today, my brother?
Very good. How are you today?
Good, 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 good. So that's now your main office is in Terre Haute, and you're in Lafayette.
Correct.
So you have a pretty good territory there. I was looking on the map. So pretty much West Central Indiana, and part of it goes into Illinois, right?
Yes, that's correct. We've got 22 counties that we cover. Five of those counties are in Illinois, and we pretty much run the entire Wabash River Valley, per se, with our jurisdiction. Pretty skinny, tall, and long.
Okay, good. How many members in the local?
We've got roughly 1,800 members. That includes retirees and a couple other divisional trades, but we have about 1,800.
Has that been pretty constant, up, down, sideways? What's going on?
You know, it follows the economic outlooks. Right now, our numbers are increasing. Of course, you know, everyone's having the same issue with attrition, retirements, and things of that nature. So some days we're growing strong. Other days we're not growing quick enough. In my opinion, we're definitely not growing quick enough, but I think that's the sentiment across the country.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get into that with you because I'm hearing that from all the trades. They're all saying the same thing. We got to get more young people in there. Let's talk about when you were young, okay? you decided to get involved in the trades. What age are we talking about when you decided to make that leap? And that was going back to, what, 1999?
Yes, correct. I was 24 years old, if I remember right. So I just got married. I just bought my first home, and I jumped in and started a new career. So I had three major life-changing events within the first year of age 24, and I joined the Plumbers and Pipefitters, and I haven't looked back or regretted it.
So did somebody kind of like encourage you to go especially into the plumbers and pipe fitter? I mean, there's a lot of trades you could have gone into, right?
Oh, absolutely. And really, I didn't know much about it other than I had an uncle in my family that was a member, a lifelong member. He's done passed away, of course. But one day at a family reunion, I was telling him, you know, about my dead-end job that I had, and I was looking for something different. And he said, hey, how about joining the Plumbers and Pipe Fitters Local 157? And of course, I said, well, absolutely, I'll give it a go. I could see that he was, pretty well off. He had good health coverage, a nice solid home. He never wanted for work. And, I was obviously wanting more at that young age. And I jumped in. And, man, the only regret I have at this point is that I didn't jump in when I was 18.
Really? Yeah, I want to talk about going into the schools. And I know all the unions are doing that. But it seems like you went up the ladder pretty quickly. And you got into the teaching part. You became, what was it, you talked to your local training director about becoming an instructor. It seems like you really took to that. Can you reflect on that part?
Yeah. After serving the 5-year apprenticeship program and excelling in that program and really adhering to that dynamic of on-the-job training and apprenticeship programs, I really just blossomed in that environment. So when the opportunity came shortly after I finished my apprenticeship, or we call it topping out, the training coordinator asked if I was interested in teaching and giving back. And of course, as everybody knows, if you teach, you get smarter and better skills, et cetera, et cetera. So I spent the next 10 years teaching 2 nights a week, 9 months out of the year. Plus, I worked out in the field during that time as well. And I've had a lot of help, a lot of opportunities popped up, and success is always at the crossroads of opportunity and hard work, and I've had plenty of both of those.
When you were in the field, and I was reading earlier, you covered a lot of ground, a lot of small projects, big projects. Anyone's come to mind that you're pretty proud of? I'm sure you're proud of all of them, but there's probably some that stand out.
Oh, absolutely. One of the best projects I've had the opportunity to be on was working at a dairy, very large dairy in Fair Oaks, Indiana. This particular dairy had around 15,000 cows, but I helped install and build a natural gas compression station that actually took the methane off of the anaerobic digester of all the cow poop and converted it into natural gas. And it used all kinds of different exotic alloys, a lot of hot welds, a lot of different welding procedures. And I got a chance to work with engineers from around the world, from Argentina to British Columbia. And of course, my favorite engineer from New Zealand, a guy named George, who's a 6'2" Japanese guy. And I can't make this stuff up. Right? It's a long story. But anyway, we built this entire project. It was a fun project, fast paced. We got it up. It was day of commissioning. We go to commission the entire unit, and it damn near explodes, right? It has all kinds of mechanical design problems. Startup didn't go correct. Everybody flew in from around the world, and they open up plans. They look and verify it's all installed per plans and specs, which it was. And they look at me, an individual with a 5-year apprenticeship program in my belt, and a foreman on that particular site, and said, what do we need to do to get this fixed? And we just started tearing things apart, of course. And, you know, we saved the day. And that was one of my proudest moments to have world engineers ask an American with the five-year apprenticeship program, what do we do next?
Well,
that's pretty cool.
That tells you a lot about the program then, you know?
it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. How long did that project go, Steve?
You know, it was about 6 months from start to stop. And it was, like I said, fast-paced because it was converting methane to natural gas. So there's carbon credits involved. There's hard deadlines. There's federal dollars in for renewable energy. A lot of eyes were looking on that job. So when things hit the fan, when the cow poop hit the fan, per se, you know, it was go time.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to say that we performed, and everybody out of our union hall stepped up to the plate. We made stuff happen.
Did I hear you say there were like 15,000 cows in that area?
Yeah, in a concentrated, it's a CAFO, a concentrated a feed operation. So, yeah, 15,000 cows, and that's a lot of cow poop.
That's a lot,
and of course,
yeah,
they have to do something with it. So they make natural gas off of it. They use that gas to fuel their milk trucks to deliver milk to the stores.
Wow.
So it's a pretty cool process, pretty cool operation.
Very cool, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about, you know, going through the union ranks and all that. And you're a field rep now, and I see you're really involved in the community. I saw a number of organizations like United Way and Habitat for the Humanity and things like that. But that process of moving up the union, that had to be kind of changing for you, life changing for you. Maybe not as crazy as what happened on that farm, but can you talk about that?
Yeah, you know, once again, you know, the opportunity to give back and to serve became available. And I've always been interested in the organization and what we stood for. And I jumped at the opportunity and the chance to serve in this capacity. And it's, you know, working for a nonprofit professional trade association is like working for no other entity. You know, there's no dark, deep, hidden objective. We're not concerned about our stock market price. We're not concerned about turning a profit and doing everything we can to squeeze this corner and that corner. You know, our number one goal is to represent and give other people the same opportunities that we had, which is the opportunity to be able to fish and fish for a lifetime and be able to feed yourself and your family. And that's what we do, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Pathway to the middle class. That's what it's all about.
100%. Yeah.
Steve Snyder joining us on our live line. He's a field rep for Plumbers and Pipe Fitters as part of the UA Local 157. They're based in Terre Haute, Indiana, and he's out of Lafayette. They have about 1,800 members. That includes retirees. We'll continue talking with him. We're going to talk about what we need to do to get more young people in the trades because there's a lot of people retiring. Anna Fenley will be joining us later in the show on behalf of the United Steelworkers. She is Director of Regulatory and State Policy, and she was recently elected as Industrial's Global Union Vice President for North America. Powerful position. She'll talk about that and more back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at UAW.org.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
From the Golden Gate Bridge to the St. Louis Gateway Arch, the Sears Tower, and just about every building, bridge, and structure in between, our cities and towns wouldn't be the same without ironworkers. With over 3,000 contractors employing more than 130,000 highly trained ironworkers and 20,000 apprentices, the Ironworkers Union stands ready and able to shape the future of our skylines. Learn more at ironworkers.org. Ironworkers, the sky's the limit.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, we're available on at least six platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. And when you get an opportunity, here's what you do. Just sign up, receive our shows on a regular basis, and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings, so please keep them coming. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find more at oh.aft.org. Let's go back to Indiana right now and rejoin Mr. Steven Snyder, field rep for United Association Local 157 Plumbers and Pipe Fitters. Steve, I want to talk about these retirements. I don't know. What is the average age in your union? I know all unions are looking at this right now because they're trying to attract more young people and women, people right. of color. Right. It's important to be diverse today. But what would you say is your average age over there?
Our average age of our working members is 56 years old. So, I'm sorry, 54.6 years old. We've done the math just last quarter, to be honest with you. So, you know, we've got an aging workforce that needs replenished, to say the least.
So what are we doing about it? Are you reaching out to the community, reaching out to the schools?
Absolutely. That's one of the main things that takes up the majority of my time. And I have been doing that even pre-COVID, reaching out to the schools to talk about the opportunities that we have, especially in this region. And I've been elected president of Tiffany New Building Trades, and we have collectively, all of us, all other trades together, iron workers included, have really, really gone after the area high schools and put on horse and pony shows time and time again to bring those opportunities to the forefront. Now, and it's resonating.
That's what I want to talk about. Are they biting? Because, you know, you remember, yeah, you got to go to college. You got to go to college. It's the only way you're going to get a good job. You think that's changing a bit?
Absolutely. I mean, we're right in the middle of that paradigm shift. And, of course, we've been laying the groundwork for quite some time, and we've been hounding the horns. Well, of course, we first had to get the teachers, the educators, the counselors, and the superintendents to buy into that message, which they have. And then we're now getting the students and the parents to buy into that message. Add in the fact that the gig with college is up, debt is on the forefront of everyone's minds. You go to college, you graduate with this massive amount of debt, that leaves you tied to the lowest rung of the economic ladder. Everybody at this point is looking for other options. I definitely do not dissuade anyone from going to college, but I do give them the opportunities other than college to have a pathway to success with zero debt, period.
Mm-hmm. And there's so many work opportunities right now. I mean, you talked about what you did with that methane gas conversion some years ago. But what's happening in your area? Just to kind of give our audience an idea, because we're hearing just incredible work that's being planned right now.
Yeah, across the nation, there's a massive amount of work. So I'll just talk briefly about what's in my particular area. We've got $3.72 billion, that's right, with a B, dollars of development that's in Tippecanoe County, which is Lafayette, Tippecanoe County, and the surrounding region, to the next 12 months to the next 5 years. Some of those particular projects have already started. Some of them are in processes. Some of them are in design. Some of them are still conceptual. But we have a massive amount of development that is happening. And these are high-tech developments. The latest was a Skywater Tech from Minnesota who wants to build a chip plant to manufacture wafer chips in my backyard. Of course, chip plants, you just can't throw those particular projects up. They require a high degree of skill, skilled tradeswomen and men, to get those things accomplished. So just the spin-offs from that alone, it's bringing a lot more people into the fold. We've started a robust campaign with the Department of Defense and the Air Force. Purdue University has been spearheading that, which has led to hypersonic research, and it has led to rocket engineering and other things of that nature. So the landscape is growing and changing in this region, and skilled workers, it's going to take us to build it, of course.
It's interesting you bring up the CHIPS plant, because I got re-educated very quickly. We're getting one of those in Central Ohio.
Absolutely.
I learned for you guys, for the UA, for the plumbers and pipe fitters, get ready. Yeah. Get ready. Now, I don't know the scope of the plant you were talking about, but the one in Central Ohio, they're going to go through 5 million gallons of water a day. A day. Is that crazy?
And that's, it is. And that's not, that water is not just tap water. That water has to be redefined. It has to be purified. It has to be purified again. This water gets to be so pure, and it has to operate at such a high level that bacteria that they kill, they use that water to wash away the carcasses of bacteria on chips. So there's no impurities. So as far as piping systems and things of that nature, it is a pipe fitter's dream.
Wow.
We have oil refineries, pharmaceutical, but chip plants is that's where our work's at. So
amazing.
I'm very excited about this.
Just
project.
Amazing. Yeah. So, you know, that being said, you know, with all this work coming, how is the UA prepared for this? Because we're going to need a lot of plumbers and pipe fitters, not just in your area, but all around.
Right. Well, we've accelerated our training as much as possible. I mean, you've got the same problem, the horse and cart theory. Do we have a bunch of people trained up and invest capital and have people sitting at their house waiting for these projects to happen? Or do we wait for the projects to happen and then start training? So it really is a crystal ball strategic plan to try to meet those demands. But as far as I can see across the board, we're going to do our part and train as much as we possibly can and get as many people as we can involved. But the simple fact is it's a math problem. There are not enough people out here in the world, in our United States, in the Midwest, in Indiana. There's just not enough individuals to get trained. So we're going to have to morph, we as a business entity, to make things happen.
Steve, we got a couple of minutes left here, and I know you wanted to reflect on the work dynamic in America today. And, well, you know what's going on. We heard about this great resignation, and the pandemic has changed the way people actually look at work today, what kind of work that they're doing. And it seems like the model is in flux right now. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, it really, this problem has been coming for quite some time, and we've been able to look at it, look at projections, strategize, and try to plan for the mass exodus of our workforce. This was the old thought process. Enter COVID in 2020 when that hit. The dust is still settling. We've had 2.3 million 55-year-old people, not 56 or 54, 55 years old, that have left the workforce, right? That another million people that have passed away, unfortunately. And then we've had tons and tons of individuals retire at 56, 57, early retirements have cashed out of the workforce. So with all that added up, the dynamics have changed drastically. So businesses have been used to the old business model of having access, the cheap, disposable human capital on a whim. They hire and fire at will. Those days are over. Every employer across the board, across the nation, are all competing for that same person to come work for them. So right now, the employees, for the first time in my lifetime, are in the driver's seat, and they're rewriting that social contract, and we're finding out new things because, well, it's going to be the new norm, and there's growing pains associated with all that. And we can talk about that for hours as far as what this new generation wants and what's happening. But make no mistake about it, it is being rewritten as we talk.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, not only are employees in charge and on the front lines, but so are unions. And unions are,
absolutely.
Unions are hot right now. 71%, according to a Gallup poll, are in favor of unions today. So this is our time. There's no doubt about it.
100%. 100%.
All right, my brother, I'm going to let you get back to work. Steve Snyder, Local 157, Plumbers and Pipe Fitters, part of the United Association. You can find more at UALocal157.org. You take care. Love talking to you. Let's do this down the road, okay, brother?
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. All right, quick break. Anna Fenley is with the Steelworkers. She's Director of Regulatory and State Policy. She's coming up next.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Hi, this is Liz Schuler, president of the AFL-CIO, and I am a huge fan of Flash and America's Workforce Radio and podcast.
Hello from the Communication Workers of America, District 4. We are a labor union representing a vast array of workers in different industries, including the Association of Flight Attendants, Telecommunications, CWA Passenger Services, Public Health Care, and Education Workers, the IUE, CWA Industrial Division, the National Association of Broadcast Employees, the CWA News Guild, not to mention our growing digital sector, and many others. If you're interested in organizing your work group or learning more about what it means to be CWA strong, visit our website at www.cwad4.org. That's cwad4.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, AWF Union Podcast, AWF Union Podcast. And if you miss a show, you can check it out 24/7 on our newly revamped website. That would be awfpodcast.com. I'll tell you, a lot of people are checking that out. More and more people coming up to say, hey, Flash, I heard your show the other day. Really good stuff. Keep it going. That's what it's all about. America's Workforce. Workers strong, where unions belong. Let's go to Washington right now. Joining us on line number two is Anna Fenley. Anna is the Director of Regulatory and State Policy for the United Steelworkers, proud sponsor for many, many years of America's Workforce, USW.org. They do such a good job on their website, too. I keep talking about that video that we played before, Everybody's Union. Do check that out. Anna Fenley, welcome to America's Workforce. How are we doing today?
Hey, Flash. I'm doing great. It's great to be with you.
Director of Regulatory and State Policy. Well, let's talk about that. That sounds like a lot of work. It really does.
It is a lot of work.
Okay. Well, what do you do in that capacity?
That's a long title and a fancy way to say that I'm part of a team that works for good laws in Washington and in state houses around the country to benefit steelworker members and manufacturing workers across the country.
And we're in a changing environment now with the push for cleaner energy, cleaner products, and, you know, manufacturing is in the middle of all that. So this, I know this is kind of a unique moment. Can you speak to that? And I guess you have to kind of navigate that right now, right?
It's true. We are actually in a really unique and also exciting moment for manufacturing. As our energy system changes, right, manufacturing is going to form the basis of our energy security. Congress and the White House have done a lot of work to pass laws, and there's just gobs of money, billions of dollars on the table for manufacturers to invest in facilities and in communities. And it's it's a really exciting time that we have to make sure that we take advantage of as a country.
Well, we have to take advantage of it, and we have to make sure it goes to unions. Because the workers in unions have the skills to complete that job, to do it right the first time. And I'm just wondering, and a lot of this, of course, like solar panels, maybe you could touch on a couple of things, windmills, things of that nature. Are we part of the conversation right now? I know we got, you know, worker-friendly people in the White House. We got a great guy in the Labor Department and all that. And, you know, we got these Buy America policies and all that. So how do you feel about all of that moving forward?
You know, I'm really optimistic about this moving forward. We do have the most pro-Buy America administration that we've ever seen. And we have the most pro-union administration that we've ever seen. And as this administration is looking at giving out dollars to companies to make things like parts for solar panels or blades for wind turbines, they're looking at attaching labor requirements so that we make sure that things are built with project labor agreements by building trades construction workers. And we make sure that manufacturing companies respect a worker's right to organize and join a union without fear of retaliation.
So this is
monumental stuff.
And on my question here, there's members of Congress, as you well know, that don't seem to be on the same page as you and I talking right now. And I'm wondering, are they starting to get the message that we have to make things here? There was a time where that they decided, oh, no, let's just, you know, ship them away to China, to Vietnam, to Mexico, to, you know, where there's cheaper labor markets. I'm wondering, is that dynamic changing in your opinion?
I think it is changing, Flash. I think that members of Congress across the country have seen what the loss of manufacturing jobs have done, how it's hollowed out communities. And, you know, the bipartisan infrastructure law that was passed by Republicans and Democrats last year really doubled down on investing in innovation, including innovation in manufacturing. We do have bipartisan support for manufacturing. It's, as I said, it's a unique moment. And if we don't capitalize it as workers and working with all of our partners, we're really going to lose if we don't capitalize on it. Because here's the thing, other countries are doing this also, and we know that American workers can outcompete anyone in the world if we're on a level playing field.
Exactly, level playing field. That's the key right there. It's interesting you talk about around the world. I'd like to speak to you about Industrial, a global union here, and I see that you were recently elected as the vice president for North America. Can you explain to our listeners and steelworkers, I mean, powerful union, 1.2 million members in a number of countries around the world. That includes retirees, by the way. Why don't you explain to our listeners what Industrial is and what this is going to mean for the steelworkers?
Sure. Industrial is a global federation of industrial trade unions from around the world. So we join together with steel workers and tire makers and paper workers from all different countries. This is made up of a bunch of democratic unions. And really, the crux of why workers globally in the same industries have joined together is to make sure that companies don't pit us against each other. We've seen that race to the bottom by moving jobs overseas. And so we got together with workers in Mexico and workers in India and in South Africa and Brazil to say, these companies can't treat you poorly in order to take advantage of us. So it's really about building worker power globally.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you mentioned Mexico, and I know in the trade deal when they improved NAFTA, and this is when Trump was in office, the USMCA, they made sure, and this was originally didn't have labor protections in that agreement, as I recall. And it was because of people like the steelworkers, various unions. The AFL-CIO was very vocal on this and said, you got to write those in there. We're seeing the results of that right now. We're seeing real unions in Mexico, aren't we?
We are. It's incredibly exciting. We're seeing real unions, workers actually choosing to have a union and winning. And this is, you're right, this is all due to rank-and-file workers in the U.S. who are tired of being taken advantage of and being threatened with the lower labor standards in Mexico.
And I want to talk about building union power. I understand that you helped build union power by working in coalition with other organizations. I know one is the Blue-Green Alliance, and the great organization. The steelworkers had a big role in that. Can you speak to that, on how important that is moving forward?
Our partnership with the Blue-Green Alliance is incredibly unconventional, or it was when it was started. You know, the fact that a manufacturing union like ours would sit down with environmental groups and try to figure out how we come to agreement on the details. We all agree that we need both a clean environment and good jobs. And really, we're having a moment as the Blue-Green Alliance partnership. We don't agree on everything, but we do agree that we have to increase manufacturing here. Clean, safe, worker-friendly manufacturing. So we're all pushing together to grow that capacity here to make sure that we continue making the strongest and cleanest steel in the world, and we make new solar panels and wind turbines and batteries and all sorts of things.
So looking ahead here, Anna, by the way, Anna Fenley is joining us on our live line. She is the Director of Regulatory and State Policy for the United Steelworkers. What's the agenda? I know, you know, politics is sucking up all the oxygen in Washington right now. I'm sure you're going to be involved in a lot of lobbying and make sure that things go the right way for the steelworkers. Can you reference anything that maybe we should be aware of right now?
Yeah, and I really appreciate you asking that, because politics does suck up a lot of oxygen, but there's stuff that doesn't make the normal news that is so important and it's going to benefit people's lives. So Congress passed the bipartisan infrastructure law last year and the Inflation Reduction Act this year. And there's an incredible amount of money that the Biden administration needs to spend on investments in manufacturing, on rebuilding our infrastructure. So that's really the agenda, is making sure that those dollars go to union workplaces, to growing manufacturing, and to making our communities safer and more resilient.
And do you feel that it's, I always ask the question, the needle's moving in the right direction. Do you feel with everything at play, I mean, it seems like the planets are aligned right now, you know, with the right people in office. I'm just wondering if we're seizing the moment or about to seize the moment, or we're in the middle of that moment.
I think we're in the middle of that moment. You know, it is a race against the clock. There's a lot of money to get out the door, and the federal government needs to hire a lot of people to do that. But I think we're in the middle of that moment, and we need workers and we need companies and we need folks to step up, because this is the time where we can be the model for the rest of the world. High wage union jobs, making things sustainably, and exporting those products around the world.
You got it. Yeah, a lot of bridges need to be replaced or repaired, and we want to make sure that steel is made right here in the USA. We got plenty of it. We can definitely go in that direction, because I think we made some mistakes in the past. Definitely made some mistakes. I remember talking Leo Girard, your former president. He was so ticked off with what happened in California some years ago when they used Chinese steel and it was rusting before they could even finish the job. So that was a teaching moment, no doubt about that. All right, Anna Fenley, thank you so much for joining us. Anna Fenley, Director of Regulatory and State Policy on behalf of the Steelworkers, USW.org. Stay strong, stay safe, stay in touch, okay?
Thanks so much for having me.
You got it. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up on Monday, we're going to check in with Smart Local 25 and the latest from the Transportation Trades Department of the AFL-CIO. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful weekend.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.